Well, this is one of those, you're reminding me of one of the most archetypal dreams that most people have is the experience of being chased. And most of us wake up without facing what that is.
Exactly.
So in some ways, these alignments are encouraging us to face whatever we're afraid of so that perhaps in that dream space, we can face it too.
Yes.
So there's a huge opportunity here.
Yes.
Facing fear is, we need to reframe that facing fear is how you heal. It's how you move forward individually, collectively. It's the path. Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This is the week of April 1st through the 7th. I'm here with Gabriella D'Urso. And last week, we began with the full moon lunar eclipse.
That was a fun conversation.
Yes, yes. That's how the week began. And that took up most of the conversation for the week. It's a big, big topic. Mm-hmm. There is only one other transit for the week. But this week, like last week, the week is initiated with another big transit at the beginning of the week, where this week we start off with Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, begins its retrograde transit in the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram, Aries. So Mercury retrograde begins on Monday, April 1st. In Aries, Mercury's retrograde transit begins at 27 degrees. In Aries, it retrogrades back to 15 degrees, where it will form that conjunction again with the North Node in Aries. That's, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Mercury entering its retrograde shadow on March 18th, where it formed a conjunction with the North Node in Aries. And when Mercury retrogrades back and its retrograde ends on April 25th, it's going to be right back with the North Node in Aries. So the North Node in Aries is sticking around at 15 degrees in Aries. That's where it was when Mercury moved into its retrograde shadow. It's where it will be when Mercury ends its retrograde on April 25th. And then Mercury moves out of its retrograde shadow on May 13th. So where Mercury is today, Monday, April 1st, is exactly where Mercury will be on May 13th, a month and a half from now. So what is this retrograde about? Aries is the first sign. It's the sign that signifies the self. Who are you? Who are you? That's the question. When Mercury is transiting through Aries, when any planets are transiting through Aries, it's about self-identification. Mercury is the planet of the mind. So this extended stay, as we talked about when Mercury transited into Aries, from March 9th to May 15th, Mercury is in Aries. That's an extended period. It's over 2 months of Mercury being in a sign. Mercury typically spends about 3 weeks in a sign. So we're getting Mercury in Aries for over 2 months, like almost 9 weeks. And I feel like this is very significant with regards to the energy of Pluto in Aquarius. Because Pluto in Aquarius is transforming the collective, the community, how we relate to one another as individuals within the group, within the context of the group dynamics, the community, society. But it can be a little bit daunting to be a part of a group, because how do I fit into that group? We don't want to be the outcast or the outsider. We want to feel like we belong, like we're accepted. But at the same time, how can you feel like you're accepted if you're putting up a front that is not authentic to you? If you're putting up a front that is not authentic to you, then, and that is what is accepted by the group, then you don't really feel like you are accepted by the group, because who the group is accepting is not really you. So this extended transit of Mercury in Aries is really helping us to claim our authenticity through the way that we communicate, the way that we think, the way that we share ideas, the way that we connect with others.
It's interesting to consider that Aries season is the start of the astrological new year. And so we're beginning with this chance to go into this self-review, essentially. There's something intriguing to me about that. And I'm also thinking about how Aries season being the first season in the astrological year, Aries relates to the head.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, well, it's interesting what that says to us about authenticity. Because I think in some ways it's counter to, in the process of individuation, the idea is that you become more authentic the further you get in your life, the more individuated you become. But Aries, acting as the first sign in the zodiac, is actually indicating to us that we are our most authentic kind of straight out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that an interesting juxtaposition.
Yes.
And it's true, when you're around children, they're incredibly authentic.
Right.
They don't know how to be any other way.
They're themselves.
They're themselves, because they haven't yet learned that there are reasons why you might want to suppress parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. They haven't been subjugated by the group or society saying, well, you can't say that, or you can't do that.
Right. But, and they also haven't learned, I mean, there are reasons why we've all learned to suppress parts of ourselves.
Yeah, and so what are those?
Well, and typically we're doing it because we want love and acceptance.
Exactly.
So there is a reward in that. Of course, to your point, it's a false reward, because you're loved and appreciated for someone that you're not,
mm-hmm.
ultimately. So there's an internal conflict. I think a lot of this is about whether or not you're willing to face conflict internally or externally.
Hmm.
When you're authentic, you're more likely to experience external conflict,
hmm.
because you're going to bump up against people who don't like those parts of you.
Right.
So instead, when you suppress yourself, you might have external harmony, but you end up with internal conflict. So there's a reward kind of from the outside looking in, but then there can be real suffering on the inside.
Yes.
So it's just interesting to consider this part about our child self, like the archetype of the child.
What's interesting for me about this retrograde happening now is the fact that this is the first time that we're having this really extended stay of Pluto in Aquarius. Last year, it was there for just a couple months, starting in June, after the astrological new year, which was interesting because that's when the sun was in Gemini. So it was about curiosity. But now we have this longer stay, where Pluto is in Aquarius from January 20th until September 4th. So the first retrograde happening here for the full part, the first retrograde of 2024. The last retrograde ended on, I think it was at the end of the year, December 31st or January 1st is when the retrograde ended. So this is the first full retrograde of 2024. And yes, it's happening in accordance with the sun in Aries. But It's really giving us this extended period to find our voice in the community. How can I be myself within the group construct?
Mm-hmm.
Am I actually speaking in a way that's authentic to me, thinking in a way that's authentic to me, or am I kind of falling back into the crowd too much where I don't really even matter? My voice, my opinion, my perspective doesn't matter. I'm just nodding along with everyone else because I want to fit in. And that is really a weak group, a weak society. A strong society is one that has different views that can all coexist. A strong group is a group that has different views where everyone within the group can coexist and respect their differences. And so this extended retrograde is really helping every individual find their voice. And then when you think of the retrograde, Mercury moving back, maybe there's some things that you have said between March 9th and April 1st, when the retrograde began, that you want to take back, that you want to rearticulate, that you want to rephrase in some way.
I think that's the part maybe I'm feeling into about conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That in order to be more authentic, that there could be some backlash.
Yes. Yes. But that there's going to be backlash. There's going to be conflict.
But it's that choice of where are you willing to tolerate the conflict? Mm-hmm. And so I guess, would you say that this transit is supporting us in moving away from inner conflict and being willing to face it in our communities?
It's putting the conflict on the front page,
mm-hmm.
not hiding it anymore. Right. Aries people speak up, speak out. They're active. They're not passive. And so people that are born with, like we talked about, I think a few episodes ago, when Mercury transited into Aries, I asked you, do you know anyone who was born with Mercury in Aries? And you're like, yeah, actually I do. And I said, and they talk really slow, right? And you're like, no.
No.
They speak quickly. Their thoughts, their thought process happens quickly. They say a lot. They're not quiet people.
Mm-hmm.
They are outspoken. If you're born with Mercury in Aries, you are outspoken. So whenever the planets are transiting in signs, we are experiencing what it's like to be born with the planet in that sign. So everybody is going to be more outspoken than normal. That's how I view it. But there may be some things that are said that you're going to want to reverse, rephrase, rearticulate because of the retrograde. So Mercury, where Mercury was between March 18th and April 1st is where Mercury is going to be moving back through from April 1st to April 25th. So we're getting a do-over from March 18th to April 1st, from April 1st to April 25th. And then we get the third do-over from April 25th to May 13th. Does this make sense to you?
It does.
So it's like you think of Mercury moving forward from 15 to 27 degrees from March 18th to April 1st. Then it moves back from 27 degrees to 15 degrees from April 1st to April 25th. Then it moves forward from 15 to 27 degrees from April 25th to May 13th.
So we're getting
three lessons.
Three chances to learn the same lesson.
Yes, exactly. Three chances to learn the same lesson.
Well, I'm really curious how this will show up. I think this is an important dynamic for us to look at on a collective level. Mm-hmm. Certainly individually, we'll all be relating to it in our own way based on our own charts.
Of course.
But collectively, I'm thinking about how we have difficulty embracing working with clearing conflict. I'm thinking about so many issues over the last couple years around censorship, around what's that term?
Shadow ban.
When someone is shadow banned, is that the term or is there another term for it?
What's that? Term for what? That's a,
like when someone gets completely excommunicated.
That's shadow banned.
Shadow banned?
Yeah.
Like it's happened to several musicians. It's happened to comedians.
Or I guess like shadow banned is like when you're still on the social media, but no one's seen your post. But
right. I think that's one way this is showing up.
But if you're like a musician who's... You mean when someone's canceled?
That's the term.
Yeah.
When someone's canceled.
Canceled.
Exactly. Yeah. So the pattern that we have when we don't like...
You're canceled.
Yeah. When we don't like...
You're not in the group anymore.
Exactly. When we, meaning like collectively,
yeah.
don't like the expression of authenticity, uh-huh. we just completely cancel it. We repress it. We deny it. We ignore it. We pretend like it didn't happen. Which is exactly what, from the Jungian perspective, we're supposed to be careful not to do because mm-hmm. that stuff never actually goes away.
Right.
It just gets pushed down into, we're trying to push it back into our unconscious. Mm-hmm. So it's the ego thinks that it can measure what is the proper, like what is a good type of authenticity. Versus bad authenticity. Like the ego wants to see things in terms of black and white, which of course we know is not true.
Not real.
And yes. It's not real. It's completely yeah. made up. It's made up.
Yes.
So I feel like this is an opportunity. I'm curious like what might come up in the community in terms of this sort of juxtaposition between authenticity and the group, because the way that I see that playing out is that there's not a lot of harmony there.
Hmm.
I don't think we have many examples of someone sharing a belief or a viewpoint that was then where there was community backlash
hmm.
and then it was able to be resolved and that person was actually embraced by that community again. I think most of the examples we have is they've been canceled, they've been shamed, and they're out. And really, that's not going to help us moving forward with this Pluto and Aquarius energy.
No.
We have to learn how to coexist, learn how to be with different beliefs, different opinions.
Exactly.
So I'm expecting, yeah, something. I don't know what.
Well, Aries is the most courageous sign. It's courage. So Venus also moves into Aries this week. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But by the end of this week, there's going to be the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Chiron, the North Node, four planets in the North Node, five energies in Aries. Things are going to get hot. People are going to be more courageous. There's going to be conflicts because someone's going to say something that upsets somebody and then that person's going to say something back and they're going to have to go back and forth. We're going to have to learn how to disagree with one another. But if you suppress somebody, then that is when words become obsolete. That's when people start using more than words to communicate their points. Violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, we have this misconception that in order for you to be in my community, that we have to agree on everything. And I think part of this Pluto and Aquarius transit and this Aquarius energy we're seeing be amplified in the outer planets in general is asking us to really reframe that belief. I think it is just an outdated belief.
You've got to broaden your perspective.
Right? You do. You do.
Yes.
Well, and I think, you know, we've given this example many times, but Democrats and Republicans unite because they have similar beliefs. And mm-hmm. so we do have that modeled in terms of that's what makes a community thrive, mm-hmm. is that you have the same way of looking at things. But that's not the only way. And truly, that's not the way forward. We have to learn how to be in groups where we have different opinions,
yes.
and learn to coexist with one
exactly.
another. But I don't think we really have a model of seeing that go well so that we can amplify it.
Uh-huh.
I think whenever we get confused about what is going on with humanity, we can look to nature,
yeah.
and look at how nature resolves certain issues.
Yes.
And because everything exists in nature, whether you want to find conflict, or whether you want to look for ways of species relating to one another. And one thing that I find really fascinating about how certain species have evolved over time is how they've adapted to their environment.
Like the sloth,
which
is Gabriella's spirit animal.
I love sloths so much. Like, I truly just, yeah, so much love for the sloth. So I'm just thinking of the way that certain species in the wild have evolved to learn how to adapt to look like their surroundings in order to camouflage and protect themselves, in order to coexist with these other species, their predators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's an example, like adaptability is something that we need to learn how to do as human beings. I think we have more work to do. But that kind of change, it just takes time.
Well, I mean, we've got 20 years of Pluto and Aquarius, so society's going to change more in the next 20 years than it has in the last 230 years. Because of Pluto and Aquarius. But I just want to conclude here with Mercury retrograde, that the key here is to be ready for conflict. Slow down, take your time, really take your time, have the courage to listen to others. Mercury is the planet of communication, and great communication comes from listening. So there may be great challenges with listening to others, because other people are going to be sharing their ideas that might conflict with the way that you feel about yourself and how you want to reflect your thoughts. So there is courage in speaking, but also courage in listening and slowing down. When Mercury retrograde happens, we want to slow down. And that may be a really strong challenge here with Mercury in Aries, because Aries is a very impatient sign.
So I just want to make a note about listening, because this came up for us recently.
What?
Where you and I were having a conflict about something. And
you weren't listening to me again?
No. I pointed out to you that this is something I've been thinking about lately, is what is my intention when I'm listening? Am I listening with the perspective to really try and understand this other person? Or am I listening with the perspective that they're going to say something that's going to make me angry? And I think sometimes
being an aggressive listener,
I think sometimes in relational conflicts, it's like we're listening with the anticipation of some sort of conflict.
Right.
And so the intention with which you're listening matters, is all I'm saying.
Yes. And I think the intention here with the planet of communication, great communication comes from listening, Mercury being in Aries. Aries is the sign of self-love, self-confidence. So the intention that we should have in terms of listening is listening from that place of self-love and self-confidence, which says, I have the courage to hear whatever anyone is saying to me, to listen to the words, not just hear them, but actually listen to them. Mm-hmm. Listen to what they're saying. Some of what they're saying might hurt me. Some of what they're saying might intentionally try to hurt me. But I have the courage and the confidence to receive that information from a place of love for myself that will hopefully reflect love back to the person that I'm communicating with, so they realize that they don't have to be threatened by me. That's when the fighting starts. You know, when somebody feels like they're waiting for somebody to say something that they know is going to upset them, there's fear there.
Absolutely.
So hopefully by the end of this retrograde, on April 25th, or by the time Mercury moves out of its shadow on May 13th, we are more confident in listening to others. We are not afraid of what other people are going to say to us in conversation, in communication.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the next transit, which is hopefully going to help ease us into this retrograde, because it's Venus, Lady Luck, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, transiting through the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish, which is the sign where Venus is exalted, Pisces. As Venus is concluding its transit through Pisces, it forms a conjunction with Neptune, the god of fresh water and the sea, the planet of illusion, compassion, intuition, and the planetary ruler of Pisces. So Venus is exalted in Pisces. Neptune is the planetary ruler of Pisces. You have these two planets that are both strengthened by their transits through Pisces, coming together at the same degree, 28 degrees in Pisces. This is from April 1st, Monday, to Thursday, April 4th, with an exact conjunction happening on Wednesday, April 3rd. So when we're talking about courage in communication and in listening, this is bringing some of that compassion, where we can see when somebody is maybe coming at you, attacking you with the way that they're communicating, having that self-confidence in how you think about yourself with Mercury in Aries, but also having that compassion and empathy for the person that is maybe attacking you and saying, they're afraid. There's fear there. I hear fear in their voice that is masked by anger. Anger is masking their fear.
Mm-hmm.
Rage is masking their fear. So I'm going to allow them to bark, to make the noise. I'm going to hear what they say. I'm going to listen to the words. And then I'm going to go within myself. And it may just be for a moment. It's not like you're in this conversation, you're sitting there for 20 minutes after the person has yelled at you or said something insulting to you, and now you're just sitting there. It could be. Maybe you're pondering for a long time. But it could just be a moment where you reflect within yourself and say, have I ever been like this? Am I like this to this person? They are reflecting me in some way. So what can I do to instill love in the conversation rather than more fear? And the way to do that is through compassion and empathy, which is what this transit of Venus and Neptune is helping provide.
It sounds like it's much needed.
Yes.
At this time.
Totally.
I think this compassionate listening is part of what's required.
Yes.
During these transits.
For sure.
When someone is spewing fire at you, it is so our capacity to really help that person feel heard is a superpower. And it will immediately diffuse the situation.
Yes.
Because that is what, essentially, anger is helping you see where your boundaries have been violated in some way.
Yes.
And so if the listener can really be fully present with that other person's anger, it's going to bring relief.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. That's what really I feel like this Venus-Neptune conjunction in Pisces is all about. Because like when you're saying someone's spewing fire, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of fire that is spewing during this elongated Mercury in Aries transit, and especially at the height of the beginning of retrograde, which we know is always the beginning of the retrograde and the end of the retrograde, always seems to be like the most tense time of the retrograde. It's like a train wreck. A 12-car pileup on the freeway, you know? It's just like everything just comes to a screeching halt. And so this Pisces energy with these two power planets in Pisces is cooling that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's cooling it down with the water.
And the Pisces energy is also helping us to see on this sort of psychic intuitive level. When we're interacting with someone who is experiencing a heightened level of emotion, a heightened sensation of their feelings, there's always a need behind the feeling that is not being met. And so listening compassionately for what the feelings are, but also using sort of that sixth sense in a way to imagine into what is it that this person really needs is also going to provide healing as well.
Yes. Being able to intuit what the other person needs.
Yeah. So we're kind of being asked to operate on multiple levels, it sounds like.
Yes.
Like there'll be this Aries frequency that is sort of up here in some way. And the Pisces energy is providing like something underneath that sort of has the ability to hold it in a different way.
Hmm.
It has a nurturing quality to me as you're describing it.
Everything is very condensed right now. So when you talk about operating on different levels, like the levels are like we're only talking about three signs this week. We're talking about Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. All the planets are in those three signs and Taurus. That's it. Four signs, not counting where the moon is cruising around, but all the other planets are packed in. So this period of time in life right now is like a
you're holding your breath.
Yeah. It's like we're sucking in the air and it's like, how long can we hold this before we just let it go? Once the planets start to move out and splay out around the zodiac, then things are going to be moving and happening more. But right now, there's just this tension. And it starts with the community. It moves on to the unconscious. And then the self-expression. That's Aquarius, Pisces, Aries. And then Taurus values. Those are the four levels. So we're integrating all that together. So the next transit for the week is the Sun, the giver of light, life, and vitality, forming a conjunction, another conjunction, second conjunction we're talking about this week. The Sun is conjunct the North Node, the soul's purpose, the karmic pathway of the soul, in Aries at 15 degrees. We mentioned earlier how Mercury, when it moved into its retrograde shadow, it formed a conjunction with the North Node at 15 degrees in Aries. When Mercury ends its retrograde, it's going to be conjunct the North Node at 15 degrees in Aries. Well, the Sun is trailing Mercury, and it's going to move past Mercury when Mercury moves retrograde past the Sun. But the Sun is now where Mercury was on March 18th, conjunct the North Node in Aries. The Sun and the North Node are forming this conjunction from Tuesday to Saturday, April 2nd to the 6th, with an exact conjunction happening on Thursday, April 4th. This is highlighting that theme of who am I?
Right.
Who am I?
It's adding fuel to the fire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Self-expression. How do people see me? How do I want to be perceived? How am I putting myself out there into the world? And being able to do that from a place of self-confidence, self-love.
There's a real, I just want to circle back to something else you were said earlier. You were talking about fear. A real theme for me as an Aries North Node is about facing fear.
Exactly.
And I think it's a misconception that we're supposed to wait to do things until we're not afraid anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's sometimes not courageous.
It's not, but I think sometimes we have a sense like, oh, if I fear this, it's not for me. Mm-mm. I'm going to wait until that subsides, until I move forward and do whatever that thing is. But I think this particular piece here is encouraging us to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Absolutely, because that's the whole point of courage. Courage is, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's courage.
It is, but I think it's counter to some of the messaging that we get. I mean, during COVID, I mean, everyone's favorite tagline was stay safe.
Yes.
Right? And it became sort of ingrained.
Yes.
And I still hear it sometimes. And when people say it to me, I know that it's well-intentioned and it's loving.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what this energy is actually encouraging us to do.
Right.
Not that we need to go out and do things that are completely reckless either, but feeling safe is not always an indication that it's the right path.
I do think you bring up a good point, and Aries isn't worried about being safe. Aries is focused on being strong. And in order to be strong, you have to do.
You have to follow your impulses.
So staying safe, that word staying signifies passivity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going anywhere. You're staying somewhere.
Right.
Stay safe. Where Aries is active.
Right.
So you could say, go find safety. That would be more of an airy statement of safety, or do what you need to do to ensure your safety. That would be more of the Aries way of reflecting it. Staying safe is passive. Aries is active. Aries says, go do. What are you doing? How are you acting? What are you afraid of? And are you willing to run towards your fears?
Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, facing your fears can provide you with more safety.
Exactly.
So it's not that it's that you have to make a choice, one or the other.
Think about it in terms of this. When you take it back to the COVID thing, if you have a strong immune system, then you would be safe from the virus.
Right.
So it's about strength over safety, or strength provides safety. But staying safe says, I'm afraid.
There's
so
something,
I'm going to hide from whatever the threat is.
I think there's something avoidant about the phrase staying safe.
Yes. This, right. The Aries energy is like, you're the person, we've all seen it before in the horror movie. You know, the monster is chasing after one of the characters. They're running through the forest. They're tripping over themselves, you know, and the monster, they're running as fast as they can. The monster just is walking, but somehow is catching up to them. And they just try to get away and they can't get away. And eventually they get eaten or consumed or killed by the monster. But then there's that one character that's like, no, I'm going to die. I don't care. I'm going to die anyway. They turn around and they run towards the monster and they engage with the monster and they overcome the monster because they went towards what they were afraid of. They showed courage.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of those, you're reminding me of one of the most archetypal dreams that most people have is the experience of being chased. And most of us wake up without facing what that is.
Exactly.
So in some ways, these alignments are encouraging us to face whatever we're afraid of so that perhaps in that dream space, we can face it too.
Yes.
So there's a huge opportunity here.
Yes.
Facing fear is, we need to reframe that facing fear is how you heal. It's how you move forward. Individually, collectively, it's the path.
That's right. And we're being encouraged to face our fears, to attack them. And so, as we move forward with the fourth transit of the week, Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships, transits into Aries.
More Aries.
The most feminine planet in the most masculine sign. Oh my God, what does that mean? April 4th to the 29th, Venus is transiting through Aries. The last time Venus transited through Aries was February 20th to March 16th, 2023. The time before that was May 2nd to the 28th, 2022. So think back to those dates for clues on what could be in store for you this time around as Venus transits through Aries from April 4th to the 29th. But this is about facing your fears in your relationships. Like going back to the conversation last week about masculine, feminine, and how it's not about gender. When I think of women that were born with Venus in Aries, these are the women that are the ones that are, they're hitting on the men. Or they're, you know, they're hitting on whoever they are attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
They are courageous. They're not passive when it comes to relationships. They're active. So whether it's a lover, a friend, a business partner, they're going to initiate. They're going to engage. These are also the people that fall in love very quickly.
Right.
And then they fall out of love very quickly as well. There's an impatience to love. But they're looking for that courageous, masculine energy. Whether they're finding it in a woman or a man or whatever the gender identification is, they are looking for somebody who is courageous, authentic, self-loving. They want that fire. They want that spark. And so when the spark starts to wane, that's when they're out. And so this is something to really be mindful of. Whether you're in a relationship or you're single right now, because Mercury's retrograde, so it's doing weird things to our minds, while Venus is transiting through Aries the entire time that Mercury is retrograde. The last 4 days that Venus is in Aries, Mercury is not going to be retrograde, but it's basically not going to be moving. So there is the potential threat, and I'm not trying to throw fears out there, but maybe it's good to put the fears out there because it's going to help you.
Then we can face them.
Face the fears, exactly. But this could be a time where it's ripe to like fall in love really quickly, get in with somebody quickly. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I met my person. This is going to be amazing. We're in love and we're going to be together and we're driving to Vegas and we're going to elope. And then we get to mid-May and it's like, who the hell is this person that I'm with? Why am I with them? This is not making sense to me.
Well, generally meeting someone during a Mercury retrograde indicates that there's something hidden or there's some sort of like potential for misunderstanding.
Yes, yes,
in the connection in and of itself.
Yes.
So the Mercury retrograde aligned with the Venus and Aries are both sort of setting up this potential for making an impulsive decision that yes. might somehow, there might be something cloudy about it or yes. something unclear
yes.
that becomes clear later.
Exactly. Exactly. So that lack of clarity, but then there's the heat
right.
of Venus in Aries, which is like, oh,
it's
yeah.
passionate.
Oh, wow. This is the person.
This is it.
Now, if you're with somebody, if you're in a relationship, there may be an impulsivity to jump out of the relationship and say, I don't want to be in this anymore. This is not good for me. There may be the proclivity to be selfish in a relationship with Venus and Aries, transiting through Aries.
Would you say that goes both ways? It could impulsively bring you to leave your relationship or to commit further?
Maybe.
Could that exactly. go either way?
Fine, let's just get married then. You know, we've been together for 8 years. Let's just go down to the courthouse. You know, maybe it's something like that. Yeah. But just watch out for impulsive decisions in relationships. And those impulsive decisions, are they being made from a place of love or are they being made from fear? Are you making this decision because it's like, oh my God, we're in love. I don't want to let this person go. It's like, well, let's just take it easy. Let's take our time here.
And facing the fear in that case would be confronting that there is fear.
Yes.
Recognizing
that there is fear.
Right.
Yes. Fear that maybe this person isn't right for me and I want to... Or they're going to realize I'm not right for them, so I want to lock them down right away because I really want to be with this person. Like, where are the fears coming from in your relationships? What are your greatest relationship fears? And think back to those earlier dates because that might give you some clues on to what's going on now.
Yeah, but that's such a great question.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
But especially for those born with key astrological points or planets in Cancer or Capricorn, there could be some major challenges here in relationships. So if you were born with, say, Mars in Cancer or Mars in Capricorn, when Venus transits to that degree where your Mars is in Cancer or Capricorn, when it gets to those degrees, that could indicate a fight in your relationships.
Hmm.
Whether it's a lover, a friend, a business partner, get ready for the conflict. If you have children that were born between 2008 and last year, Venus is going to square their Pluto. So they're going through a very difficult transformation of their relationships, their relationship to their own senses. Remember, Venus is the planet that rules the five physical senses: sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. So it's how they're developing their senses is going through a transformation. They're needing to take authority for what the senses mean to them, authentic to them.
And that can be really threatening as a child if you start to realize that your likes and dislikes maybe are different from your family system in some way.
Or your friends.
Or your friends. Yeah. You can start to feel like you're not a part of the group.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think generally speaking, too, this is just another point I want to throw out there is this Aquarius energy. We think of it representing the community, which it does, mm-hmm. but in the group. But we also want to remember that our family unit is our first relationship with the group.
Yeah, totally.
So some of these dynamics that we're talking about on a more collective level, like in society, could also be happening in your family system. Mm. Or you might find that they're actually happening in both places, because often our role in the community is the role that we had in our family as well. Because yeah. It's how we became comfortable orienting in the group.
Exactly.
So some of those patterns might be showing up for you. Maybe that's part of the fear or part of the conflict that's available for you to face.
Well, it's like we've said before, you know, it's like we're like a wet piece of clay when you're born. And the people that are handling that clay are the ones who are raising you. And as you get older and you go to school, you start to make friends with people that fit those divots,
right,
of where your mother, your father, whoever raised you, they pressed into you. They shaped you in some way. This is why I see when I'm looking at charts of clients who are showing me their family's charts, their parents, their siblings, and then I look at their friends' charts, and you see planets in similar places.
Hmm. Totally.
This is your mom. This is your dad. Mm-hmm. You literally see that in so we're choosing people in society that reflect what we know.
Right.
Because that's what feels comfortable to us. They fit those parts of our soul that have been impressed by our family. So with these juicy transits for the week, Mercury retrograde, Venus in Aries, if you're curious about how these transits are affecting you directly, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. Our final transit for the week includes Venus in Aries, which, as we've alluded to in previous episodes, whenever a planet is transiting into a new sign, if it's a fixed sign, a fire sign, or an air sign, the first planet that it's probably going to align with is Pluto, because Pluto's at the beginning of the fixed air sign, symbolized by the water bear Aquarius, which we've talked about a little bit earlier in this episode. But that is the first planet that Venus aligns with, is Pluto in Aquarius. So this is kind of like bringing it all back full circle, where we started talking about Mercury retrograde and how the significance of that happening with Pluto in Aquarius is kind of coming to fruition here with this transit between Venus in Aries and Pluto in Aquarius. It's like, how do I fit within the community? Who am I within the community? Do my relationships within the community, society, the group, the club, the organization, the social network, the social cause that I'm a part of, do these relationships feel authentic to me? This transit is happening from Tuesday, April 4th to Sunday, April 7th, with an exact sextile occurring on Saturday, April 6th. I would just say the one most important note for this transit is to be open to whatever transformations are occurring in your relationships within the group.
So maybe to truly let parts of yourself or parts of your relationship die and have a death process.
Understand that you're going to be different now. Your mm-hmm. relationship, you're different. Your relationships are different. Maybe your relationships end literally, but maybe it just means that the dynamics of your relationships are changing.
Yeah, they're either a death, as in they are ending for one reason or another, or in order for them to move forward, in order to orient towards a new way of being, a part of you and the way you have operated has to die. So there has to be I think we have to remember that whenever there's a transformation occurring, that there's a death and a rebirth.
Exactly.
So there might be a grief process as part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just being...
just letting yourself...
go through the process.
Grieve. Authentically grieve. Yeah.
Go through the process. And but this is a sextile. So, you know, I hopefully this feels like a positive change, because it's Aries, which is cardinal fire, Aquarius, which is fixed air. Air fuels fire. Fire raises the air. So there's cohesion, harmony.
Well, I think of like any parents who've had a child go away to college. That's a death and a rebirth. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration, but there's grief.
Yeah.
So just acknowledging that even if it's a... there's a bittersweet quality to Pluto.
Yeah, there is. Lord of the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
Dredging it all up. Dredging society up. Bringing the underbelly to light.
Yes.
Bringing the underbelly of society to light. And then seeing how it reflects in you and your relationships. Shall we do some questions?
Let's do some questions. Our first question comes from Shell X Beach. My Capricorn moon squares my Aries sun. My gratitude for speaking about the challenges about caring more and finding balance. Is it due to this that I'm always at odds between achievement or impulse?
Yeah, I think so. Because Aries is impulsive and Capricorn wants to achieve. It's like Aries is like not even thinking about the plan. It's just go. Like, I'm going to run out the door. I don't know what the next step is, but, you know, I got to get out the door first. Where Capricorn's all about planning. First we do this, then we do that, then mm-hmm. we go here, then we go there, then I say this, then I do that. It's very measured. So
yeah, the Aries energy is act first, think later.
Yes, exactly.
And Capricorn is think first, act second, right?
Yeah.
So they're both about thinking and acting. There's just a different emphasis on one versus the other. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Plan first, act later. That's Capricorn.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to think to plan, but I think of Capricorn as like, let's have a measured plan. Like, if you've seen these guys who like climb up the side of El Capitan in Yosemite, they don't just like show up there one day and say, yeah, I'm going to climb this thing. Like, they've got the whole thing mapped out. They've been studying every crack and crevice in the face of the wall that they're climbing for years. And they know exactly where everything is, and they've got it all mapped out. That's Capricorn. Aries just shows up and says, let's climb this thing. And then they're not able to make it to the top because they get stuck somewhere, and it's like, oh, well, now I don't know where to go.
Right. They're two very different ways of making decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you think this square... Is there a meaningful way forward with this square that could reconcile these two energies?
Always. Always. The balance comes from mindfulness and the fact that Shell X Beach understands this about herself so clearly is, you know, she's there.
So she's consciously aware.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, Shell X Beach is somebody who is very ambitious. That's the Capricorn moon. She has her plans. The Aries sun is that fire, that energy that can help her put the plan into motion and achieve her goals.
I can speak to this a little bit from my own experience. My sun squares my ascendant. So within my triad, I have a square, just like you, Shell X Beach. And I think one way I've learned to reconcile it is just to, like you have, to bring conscious awareness to the different parts of myself. Some of us have more squares in our natal chart than others. I think it's similar to the ways that we need to come to terms with different personalities in our family, for example, and learn to love them and appreciate their role in the whole system. When you have squares in your chart, especially in your sun, moon, or ascendant, in your primal triad, I think what you're doing is turning that understanding inward and almost seeing them as different people, like contained within yourself, that are fulfilled by different ways of being, and recognizing that it's not, there's nothing to do about it, but just to be with it.
To accept both sides of yourself and find a way to support both sides of those yourself to work together. You know, it's like by working with your squares, those contrasting points within yourself, you actually will be able to integrate into groups where people are different from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have this contradiction within yourself that you've learned to reconcile and work with within yourself. By doing that, by being able to reconcile these two parts of yourself that seem to be at odds with each other, you're able to do that outside of yourself in relationships mm-hmm. that may be conflicting to you.
Right. You can probably go into spaces that others might not be able to, who don't have that lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to relate and probably enjoy the company of a more diverse range of people, I imagine, yes. because you have that diversity within yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Cap, moon, Aries, sun, you know, go for it. Accomplish a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, good stuff.
Okay. Our next question comes from Lupo. I find myself having Lilith and Chiron in the 12th house in Gemini. How does one approach placements in the 12th house, it being unconscious? It feels like a vulnerable placement. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Lupo. Yes, the 12th house is a very vulnerable place because it's the house that represents your unconscious. So the way to approach placements in the 12th house, I feel, is to become conscious of them. Having Lilith and Chiron in the 12th house in Gemini, you have some sort of dark part of yourself, maybe a taboo part of yourself that's hidden within your unconscious that you need to explore consciously. I mean, Gemini is the sign of conscious. The 12th house is the house of the unconscious. Chiron, you have a wound to your conscious awareness, your unconscious awareness, your ability to communicate, but you also have ancient wisdom in these areas as well. And so I would say dig in to what's going on beneath the surface. What's happening in your dreams? What's coming up? I find that people that were born with Chiron in the 12th house, like the wound is not so obvious to them because it's beneath the surface. So really think about, how are you hard on yourself? Where are you? What parts of yourself are you hiding from? You have ancient wisdom within you that only exists within you. And that's the beauty of this 12th house energy, especially with Chiron. I would say tap in to those deep parts of yourself that maybe you don't even know that exist.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. Both of our questions today, I have a personal resonance with, because I also have my Chiron in the 12th house in Gemini.
Yes.
So I can relate to this experience of being wounded in some way that I'm unaware of. Mm-hmm. So I can feel the wound, but I can't quite reach it.
Yeah, it's like you can't put your finger on it.
Yeah.
It's not quite clear.
Right.
But it's there somewhere in the fog.
Right. And I think that's part of what really drew me to depth psychology, because it's all about attempting to have a relationship with the unconscious.
Yes.
And so I think for us, Lupo, that I don't know if you do any dream work, but that could be a real source of healing for you, a real source of tapping into what is the wisdom that's associated with your wound. It certainly has been for me. And for me, another path, which I don't recommend for everyone, but for me, psychedelics were also extremely healing because that's direct access to your unconscious as well. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few examples of how you can orient towards your unconscious in a new way. But I think too, there's a duality here to Chiron in the 12th house. On one hand, like Scott is saying, learning to make the unconscious conscious is one path forward. But there's also a recognition that there might always be a part of it that is out of reach. And learning how to accept not knowing.
Mm. Good point. Beautiful. Yes.
So I think there's a misconception that if we just keep making the unconscious conscious, eventually it will
There's going to be no more unconscious.
Yeah, eventually it will be this like perfect thing and we're done and we can take a nap. But the unconscious is always
going to be there.
Always going to be there. It's like outer space.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going anywhere. Yeah. So it's kind of like... I saw this funny meme recently of like someone vacuuming on the beach.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like there are rewards.
Yeah.
Because visibly you're moving some of the sand, but there's also this whole beach there.
Yeah. You're never going to get it all.
So I think some of the, isn't that, yeah, a hilarious, good analogy?
Yeah.
So I think some of the wisdom that comes from a 12th house Chiron placement is being comfortable and accepting not knowing. Hmm. And this was a big theme for me at Pacifica in my education. We had, I mean, of course, there's so much that we learned and so much that I know after that experience, but I loved, absolutely loved our classes where we talked about the value of not knowing and how there is real wisdom in that. And when, as a therapist, I don't think necessarily that when clients come to me, they're wanting me to have all the answers.
Right.
Of course, maybe some of them are, but of course, it's not possible that I have answers about someone else's mm-hmm. life. So much of what we're doing is being with what we don't know and helping support the client in really tapping into what they don't know. So there's real wisdom in that. It's learning how to be mindful with this void energy. So accepting that that's a gift.
That the unknown is a gift.
That the unknown is a gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome.
Thank you, Lupo.
Thank you, Lupo. Thank you, Gabriella.
And thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. And thank you to you, our listeners.
Yes.
Yes. Wish you all the best, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you are interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Music written by Ben Leinbach, from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog-Lyman. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian, wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.